Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace with Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel for another beautiful Sabbath, man. It's a beautiful thing that the Father's allowed us to be a part of His Sabbath days. All praises to the Most High God. We definitely want to invite everyone to listen at the Sounds of Living Waters every Friday evening and every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day. Once again, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters in Job Israel of Come and See Ministries Bible Study Class. Also, of Come and See Ministries and the Commonwealth of Israel. Today, we're dealing with the Sabbath day. What is the Sabbath day? What do it mean to us? What do the Sabbath day mean to those of us that God has woken us up to these things? I mean, He's given us the Sabbath day in Genesis chapter 1 before any of us was born. Just listening at the sound of my voice. We have to realize that we can't go changing things of heaven. You see, we can't. Really having a problem. Studio. Maybe that's supposed to be where it's at. There it is. Yeah. And just want to say grace and peace, and keep your hand up early, bro. First and foremost, y'all, we want to pray for our sister Rhea. She's under the weather today. No, it's not COVID, but she has been having a cough and so forth. You know, it's not like any of us can have a cold or, you know, just a common cold. You know, we may have a cough or a sniffle or something. Everything is COVID. Everything is COVID-19. So COVID-19, that generates money. You know, from the White House, things of that nature. And just really pray that He's recovered from those things. That the Lord heal us both physically and spiritually, inside and out. Thank you, God, Israel. just be able to be a part of the conference, be Brother Key. So, shalom, Brother Key.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. How does this microphone sound?
It sounds good. All right, great, great, great.
Well, we're going to get right into the precept. All right, so once again, we're dealing with this day. So if you can grab us a scripture to read as we, you know, stand and face Jerusalem and approach the Father and pray our sin. And brothers and sisters, if you could stand and face Jerusalem. And sisters, if you can cover your heads, as the brothers, as you can uncover your head as we approach the Father.
All right. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. I have read Psalms 22, verses 1 through 8. May the Lord add a blessing and teaching in the reading of his word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear and a mouth to speak your word for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear it and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear and a mouth to speak your word for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So once again, the title of this precept is the Sabbath day. Just as simple as that. Ain't got a whole lot of drama, ain't got a whole lot of pizzazz, ain't a whole lot of fireworks around it. It's just plain and simple, the Sabbath. You know, those of us that keep the Sabbath day, know that that's all it takes is the word of God to bring us and convince us of those beautiful things that belong to him. You see, that's called a Sabbath day. And we want to thank God for giving us a mind to even participate in those things. You see, so this is a gift. Those of us that keeps the Sabbath day understand that, because we understand what it was like not knowing what the Sabbath day was. And now that we know what the Sabbath day is, we understand that it's really a huge gift. So in Jesus' name, when we created our understanding, will increase. So let's get this started. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day."
Okay, so now we have the Lord telling us that he now has presented us the first day. So what we need to do is get to the 7 day. So here I want you to skip around a little bit, because we're not going to read the entire chapter of Genesis chapter 1. But we're going to skip around a little bit. Let's skip down to verse 8.
Verse 8. Reads, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day."
Skip down to verse 13.
Verse 13 reads, "And the evening and the morning were the third day."
Skip down to verse 19.
Verse 19 reads, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day."
Skip down to verse 23.
Verse 23 reads, "And God made the beast," "and the evening and the morning were the first, fifth day."
31.
"And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day."
So now we see that there are 6 days. We got right now that this is a consistent, that the week began at one, you know, at one. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And so you got to have an evening first and then a morning. Some of us are saying that the Sabbath day started in the daytime. Well, that's a contrast to the law, seeing that an evening dictates what a day begins. I know we in the middle of Babylon and in this world system that they tell you that a new day begins at 12 o'clock midnight. Well, that doesn't make any sense because it's already dark. But most things when you start reading about when the world at large that we coexist in, you'll find that a lot of those things don't make sense. And that's fine. This is why we have to return to the wisdom of our God, the Lord our God, the God of Israel.
Right.
We need to return back to that wisdom so he can lead and guide us in the right way. So each and every day, you notice that thing he said, even in the morning, even in the morning. Why? Because it dictated change. Why? Because you can look and see, oh, man, the sun is going down. Here come a new day, right? Because the evening is approaching. You know, not the sun up. That's Western mindset. That's a Western mindset. I don't care if you got on fringes or not. If you're saying that a new day began in broad daylight, then that's a Western mindset. You see, but the God of Israel consistent, he said, an evening and a morning consist a day. So we noticed that it was consistent throughout. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and God blessed it. So let's go right into Genesis chapter 2, He called it good. Let's go in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Genesis 2 and 1. And when you receive it, read.
Genesis 2 and 1 reads, "Thus the heavens, the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made."
Stop. So now, the other days he had, actually, from Genesis day 1 to day 3, he just said the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. But when it came to the fourth day, he said, and he saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning was fourth day. And he saw that it was good, and the evening and morning were the fifth day. And he saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So let's look at those definitions of good, right? So let's look at that. Let's look up first good, because he blessed the seventh day. So we want to bring up a separation or the difference between good and bless. Amen.
Amen.
Good and bless. It says, best, being positive, desirable in nature, not bad, not poor. Ain't that something? Having the qualities that are desirable or distinguishing in a particular thing, serving a desired purpose or end, suitable, not spoiled, not ruined. So these, now how can it not? He said in the evening and the morning were the first, second, third day, and he said, he called all them things, the evening and the morning were the fourth, fifth, sixth day. He said, they were good. They'll never be ruined. We can't cancel out those things. And he said, sound, superior to average, satisfactory, high quality, moral excellence. So when he created these days, he poured out the spirit of morality upon it. You know, that we're supposed to be in a morale sort of state of mind every day of the week. Right?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Benevolent, kind. So he said these days, he said, even every day of the week, we're supposed to be kind to one another, loyal, well-behaved, obedient, socially correct, proper. So all these spirits are spoke upon each and every last one of these days, right? Worthy of respect,
yeah.
Honorable, attractive, beneficial to health. What? Beneficial to health? Well, I guess
yes.
So, because, you know, the trees is going to bring forth fruit. I guess that's beneficial to health. The herbs is going to bring forth medicine. So that's beneficial to health. Food, like the fish and the beasts of the field, well, that's beneficial to health, you know. And don't get me wrong, you know, with most of us health nuts, you know, I like to work out, you know. I'm not big on that vegan sort of thing, but every now and again I eat a vegan sausage or whatever. You know, I may dibble and dabble, but that ain't my speed, trust that. But the thing is that he didn't say that beef was bad for us. It's the meat that's being poison today, you know, or genetically modified, is it may be bad for us now. So we got to be careful where we get our food and our meat from. For those of us that still want to eat meat, when you go to the grocery store chains, you are taking a chance on the meat that you're eating. Those of us that eat meat, your best bet is to go to a slaughterhouse, pick out a cow and say, that's the one I want, and let them cut it up for you. That'd be your best deal, right? So he said they benefit, you know, they're beneficial to health and saturated, right? Competent,
skills. So he gave us skills in each and every day. You don't miss a day with being a better person in your craft or your skills. So he put that in each and every day of the week that we'll be skilled or better. You see, this is that thing. Reliable, true, genuine and real, you know, effectable, ready or able for a specific or assumed activity. And each day brought forth an assumed activity, something like the first day brought forth the law. The second day brought forth water, and I mean, the second day brought forth the firmament. The third day brought forth the blessings of the earth. The fourth day brought forth the stars and the moons and the elements and things like that. And the fifth day brought forth the fish and the birds and blood and things like that. And then the sixth day, it brought us. So all those things he called good. Even when he created us, he called us good. This is why all these things had to be spoken to our present, into our being, because he created us on the sixth day. And then when he created us on the sixth day, he said, behold, it was very good. So the sixth day was higher than every day prior before the Sabbath. So all of these blessings that God poured out all 6 days, when it came to the sixth day, he said it was highly, highly, and it was very good, very good, very ready, very able, very effective, very operative, very competent, very skilled, very attractive, very beneficial to health, very loyal, very kind, very benevolent, very of more excellence and upright. This is why when he spoke those things in existence, that's why he said it was very good. Very good. Right. So this is those
things. He sees something good in us.
And if he had to, because he created us in that manner. But we got to be careful when we start thinking about us being good, because Jesus said out of his mouth, he said, there's none good but the Father. So we got to be in mindset. But I do understand what you're saying, because there ain't nothing he created is bad. You know, those things that that he brought forth in this world, whether they be for good or for evil, it all were for his purpose, but still is good. So it's a super win for him, right? So then he said the seventh day was blessed. He didn't call it good. He said he blessed it, right?
Right.
So let's look at that. Blessed. Worthy of worship. So this is why you keep the Sabbath day. He said it's worthy of worship. Holy, he said. He said, held in veneration and revered. We're supposed to fear this day, because we know that the God of Israel is pouring out his blessings upon it. And then he said, made holy by religious ceremony. So this is the other thing about the Sabbath day, is that, you know, you got to have some type of study, some type of ceremony. So I ain't talking about going into some big to-do, like, you know, like we be seeing, like, in some of these big churches and things like that, when they be handing out the wafers and all that type of stuff. But, you know, you got to have a holy convocation, man. Book, something, you know. This that thing. He said, worthy of deep reverence or respect. He said, deep respect. So when he blessed the Sabbath day, he said, this supposed to bring what? Deep respect. The other thing is, he said, consecrated, sacred, and sanctified. So he didn't say set apart. He said sanctified. It's a difference in set apart. And we're going to look at that, because my brothers and sisters use this term a lot, set apart. And you don't want to use that term over your life. You surely don't. You rather use the term sanctify over set apart. It says this, worthy of adoration, reverence, or worship, favored, fortunate, blissful, happy. And you know what? Most of us, when the Sabbath day comes, it's like, man, it's a brand new spirit. And most of us that don't know that the Sabbath day is come, they don't understand that it's a spiritual thing. This is why Friday nights people be going crazy. Because he pour out his spirit on Friday night. But everybody's like, Friday night, you know, let's turn it up. The spirits is high on Friday night because instead of them turning it up, they should be turning it to God. He opened a door on Friday night that we should be able to approach him. This is that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but man don't know that his mind and his body is generated to this mind, to this thing of bliss and happiness, which is a celebration, right? But instead, the world replaced it with Sunday. You see, the world replaced it with Sunday. You missed this. Even on Sunday, you don't get what you get Friday night. When Sunday come around, you know, you kind of like, the whole day, that weekend is turned down. It's nothing like Friday night. You know, when Sunday come in, it's like, it's almost as any other day. You know, it's almost like work. You got to get everybody dressed. You got to get everybody ready for church. It's almost the exact same things.
Right.
It says, blessed, highly favored. So it's highly favored above all 6 days of the week. Highly favored. It says, holy, belonging or derived from an associate of with a divine power or associated with a divine power. So the Sabbath day, like I said, people don't understand that Friday night comes with power. But they don't know that they're motivated by that because they're too busy looking. They don't know that they are being motivated by the Spirit of God that we created to be powered by the Sabbath, empowered on the Sabbath day. I should say empowered. You see, it says rescue, especially from the power and consequent of sin. So the Sabbath day can save you from sin, man. Keeping the Sabbath day can save you from sin. How is that? How is that? The Sabbath day is, this is what he spoke when he said, blessed. He blessed the Sabbath day. Why? Because on the Sabbath day, he can save you from your sins. He can save you from your sins. He said, I'm going to rescue you from the power of that be, you see. He said, save a soul on the Sabbath. How do you save a soul on a Sabbath day? Why? Because when you hear the word of God, that person is recovered. They figure it out. They say, oh, man, I've been sinning on this part, but maybe I need to fix that. Then I can fix this, and I can fix that. And then they recover themselves. But we're not looking at it like that. You know, we act like that when the Sabbath day come around, God took something from us. That's what the world teach us, that God took something from us on the Sabbath day. He did not. He didn't. What he's trying to do is save us. What he's trying to do is forgive us. What he's trying to do is deliver us. It says, characterized by happiness, good fortune, a blessed time. So the whole Sabbath day is considered a blessed time window. Friday night to Saturday night is considered a blessed time window. I'm not saying that Sunday is a bad day. I'm not saying Sunday is a bad day, but he didn't call it good. He said it's the first day. Unfortunately, the sixth day, he said, is good. Because you tell y'all, he said it was very good on the sixth day. Why? Because you're supposed to get double portions on the sixth day. On the sixth day, that's the resurrection. It's very good. On the first day, which happened to be one day after the seventh day, which make it an eighth day, the judgment. That's why he said, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's judgment. So no, Sunday isn't, it wasn't even called good. The first day of the week wasn't called good. And it has its reasons why. But we can see clearly here that the seventh day brings more than just a time off from work. It brings healing. It brings recovery from sin, man. You know what recovery from sins are? Health. What did Jesus do? He recovered the man from being possessed with devils. What else did Jesus do? He healed on the Sabbath day because when he created the Sabbath day, he put it in the law that this is what's supposed to take place. Amen. It said endowed. It said endowed, right? Supplied. So he's going to supply you whatever you're missing on the Sabbath day, spiritually and hopefully physically, whatever that may be. And then he said, granted, he said, it's granted. He's going to grant favor, right, on the Sabbath day to you. No, that don't mean go to the casino on Friday night. Better not. Man, that brother just said, man, we better go to the casino on Friday. Look, bruh, I did not. If you go, if you want to try to put your hands down like that, then wait till Friday. Wait till Thursday night, and then go to the casino on the sixth day because he said it was very good. So if you go to make, if you gonna come up, it'll probably be on the sixth day. Did I just tell him that? fortunate, furnished. He said, "I'm gonna furnish everything you need." Physically and spiritually. Amen.
Amen.
He said, happy, content, glad, joyous, joyful, bliss, holy, sacred, divine, adored, revered, hallowed, sanctified, beautified, delightful, gratifying, and pleasurable. You see, so this is that thing, man. Let's do this. Let's go into Genesis, Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. This is why you keep the Sabbath day, man, because you need them blessings, man. You want this. You need this. You need everything that we just read. Even though he said each of those days were good, they didn't come with these qualities. So we need that. We need these things on our life. We need these things spoken into our existence. We need these things. So Exodus chapter 16 and verse, let's see. Let's pick it up at verse, okay, pick it up at verse 22. Now here it is. In fact, the Lord gave Moses the commandment to tell the people to go out and get the manna, but the manna didn't last all day. You know, it'd corrupt itself before the day was over with. And the Lord was telling us to eat fresh every day. You know, and this is what, you know, a lot of us, we don't do. We don't eat fresh every day. You know, but he was showing us this is something we should do. But he's giving us the law concerning these things, right? So let's start it at start this at verse 18. Let's pick it up there.
Exodus 16 and 18 reads, "And when they did meet with an omer, he gathered much, had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of
see,
them
that's the other
left
thing, man. We gotta be,
till the morning."
You see that, bro? Do you see that? He said, don't leave nothing until the morning. This is the thing, man. This is why we're only supposed to eat what we're supposed to eat. He's going to tell us how to eat. He's actually telling us how to keep ourselves fit, right? He's telling us, one,
right,
eat fresh. It doesn't matter if it's meat or fish or vegetables or fruit. Eat fresh every day, right? Eat fresh.
Right.
Every day. Don't try to save it. Eat fresh every day. Continue.
Verse 20 reads, "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank.
See,
and Moses was wroth with them."
This is what happens when eating old food. It can corrupt your soul. You know, I mean, when you eat an old store. So we got to be careful of that. We want to eat fresh every day. So once you cook your food, you prepare it. Prepare enough for that day and discard it. Forget leftovers. Don't get me wrong, man. Ain't nothing like, to me, a soup the next day after the seasoning and everything settled down. Oh, my God. Can't beat it. But then, a lot of times we start cooking our soup in the latter part of the evening. If we prepared it that evening to eat on the next day, guess what? All the preparations and the seasoning and all those things was been settled in, you see. And so this is that thing, right? Read that 18 again.
Verse 18 says, "And when they did meet it with an omer, he gathered much, had nothing over, and he had gathered little, had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating."
See, this is the diet, man. He's telling us, he said, you know, don't be, you know, gathering, don't be eating, overeating and stuff. Like, he's telling us literally how to eat in verse 18. So a lot of us don't know how to eat. Some of us eat until our eyeballs are floating in our heads. That's not eating. That's gluttonous. You see,
amen.
In the law, he tells us don't eat. You know, at least if you do overeat, stick your finger in your mouth and throw it up, because it ain't going to do nothing but pull on your soul. You know, for whatever reason, he said, don't overeat because it does things to our body. Go figure, right? Verse 19 continues.
Yes. Verse 19 reads, "And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers.
That's what I'm saying. Look. If you want to go to the casino, go Thursday night. You might come out. You might come up. Because the law is what it is. You might come up with twice as much. So go to the casino on Thursday night. Because that's the beginning of the sixth day. Now they sitting up there, man, listen, that's a good hook. No doubt it's a good hook. Because the book tell you in Genesis chapter 2 and 14 that gold is over in Africa. So that's a good hook. So, yeah, I'm just saying. People say, well, you ain't supposed to be gambling. That's sin. Well, if you, if you addicted, anything, man, could become sin if it become your God. But if you hit the lottery, man, these same preachers that tell you, playing the lottery is sin, but if you hit $1 million, they're going to be looking for that 10%.
Amen.
So what do that sin do? It goes right out the window. Keep reading.
Verse 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and sieve that ye will sieve, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning.
So now, this is the first conversation that Moses had to us, or the children of Israel, or mankind, right? Because Moses is the lawgiver. If you believe that Moses got these things from God, we all Moses fruit. So he's trying to tell us how to get saved, right? So look, this is what you do Friday night. You get in twice as much and you prepare it, right? Read on.
Right. Verse 24 reads, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink. Neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the Sabbath day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses.
He said the people went out there on the Sabbath day, still out there looking for food on the Sabbath. No, you're supposed to have it already. You see what I'm saying? You're supposed to prepare already what you're going to have for the Sabbath day. So, No, why you out there on the Sabbath day looking for something to eat? You supposed to already have it. You see what I'm saying? And with the way this the world is right now, here come the mercy of God. The way the world is right now, they don't pay us until Friday. You're supposed to be getting paid every day that you work. If you choose, you're supposed to get paid that day. So you don't have this conversation, you know. And that's literally what God was doing, right? He said, go out there and get your food every day of the week. He was paying us every day. Every day. Because we were being about him, right? So he made sure that we was covered every day. So, but on a Sabbath day, man, he said, no, I want you to chill. That's today, you know. And people think, man, you know, man, it's the Sabbath day, you know, and you know, I can't do nothing but sit around and read the book. Again, you know, like it's a drag to be about the Word of God or something. You know what I'm saying? You might learn something. But people who aren't students don't learn. So you get it. That's why they still out there looking for stuff on a Sabbath day. And he said, the people. So that was men and women and children. You know? And Moses got mad. Men, women, and children. Don't act like these are just dudes. This was men, women, and children out there looking for stuff on a Sabbath day. You know, he said the people. He didn't say the men of Israel or the women of Israel. He said the people. Continue.
Verse 27 reads, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none.
Now, here's the other thing the Lord said about the seventh day. He called it the seventh day. We just counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And then he said the seventh day. Now we're looking at the seventh day. So if you got a calendar, and some of us, you know, that may not have understanding in the Word of God concerning these things, well, here's the thing. Go look at your calendar. Go look at your calendar and look at what the first day of the week is. The first day of the week on your calendar is Sunday, and you count 7 days from there, and that's going to give you the Sabbath day. Now, some say, well, Gregory changed the days and all that there and the other, so you don't know when the Sabbath day is. Well, that's between you and God, man. I ain't going to ride with that. I know he did change the days of the month. It went from because their calendar was running ahead of our calendar. So eventually it would have been, if we, you know, acknowledge these months of the year, April would have been in January, you know, if he didn't adjust it. You know, that's why he put this leap year inside of it, you know. But he didn't adjust the week. The week is still the same. And so he didn't change the days of the week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is still consistent. And if he changed it from the first day, and it's not really the first day, and today really isn't the first day of the week, then I'm not guilty. I'm still doing what I'm supposed to be doing because it didn't change to me. Every day of my life, Saturday been the seventh day of the week. Every day of my life. So it's nothing. That judgment will never fall on me. And now that I know that the seventh day of the week is Saturday, which the God of Israel called a Sabbath and not Saturn or Saturday, then it's my conviction to rest and be easy and not work. Just chill. Take it in. You know. Continue.
Verse 28 reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the Sabbath day.
Chill.
So the people rested on the seventh day.
Just chill. So look, man, chill. Man, God is going to bless you on the sixth day, man. I mean, you know, Thursday night, expect your double portion. Expect it coming. some of us gonna run and buy lottery tickets on Hey, hey, if you hit, you better hit me on PayPal. I ain't playing. You better hit me on PayPal. That's Ernest Moore. You better hit me on PayPal if you come up, because I gave you that 401 thanks to the God of Israel giving me the 401, right? The 411 on that. But anyway, he said, man, look, he said it again, though, right? Didn't he say it, bro? In 29, he said, look, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he giving you on a six-day bread for 2 days.
Double portion.
You're
going to
get a double portion. Yeah. Double portions. Double portions for 2 days, man. So abide ye, every man in his place. Chill, man. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Sabbath. It ain't nothing wrong with keeping it. It ain't nothing wrong with chilling. People say, man, I ain't playing my Xbox and this, that, and the other. Well, if your Xbox got all that you know, Warcraft and all that type of stuff, man, then, you know, you might not want to. You know what I'm saying? But it's a pleasurable day. You know, people say, well, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that on the Sabbath. Like, that's between you and God, but don't be putting everybody else in your box. That's between you and God, how you get down. My thing is that chill. Don't leave out your place. Don't be trying to go to work. And I thank God, man, that, you know, that he gave me the Sabbath off, you know. And we can have this conversation on Friday and Saturday, on Friday nights and the Sabbath day. God willing, we live. This is those things. So the people rested on the seventh day, right? Let's go right into Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and pick it up at verse 1. Exodus 20 and 1. When you receive it, read.
Twenty and one reads, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord
Hold on. So keeping the Sabbath day is showing the Lord that you love him?
Yes.
So he's saying, yeah, man, every day of the year, every day of the week is good. I mean, you know, to whatever degree it may be. But no, man, he said flat out, look, if you love me, you'll keep the Sabbath. If you love me, you'll keep it. If you love me, you'll keep the Sabbath day and keep from polluting it. If you love me. If you don't love me, you'll do whatever you want to do. You know? Like, right now, it's sad that, you know, it is what it is, but a lot of us don't acknowledge the Sabbath day. And I'm not, you know, a lot of us is ignorant that today is the Sabbath. That's another thing, you know. A lot of us is just ignorant that today is Sabbath day. And you can't hold that against them, like, man, you don't know what the Sabbath day is. See, you ignorant to the Sabbath day. Well, yeah, so was you. Unless you were born in this thing. If you wasn't born into this thing, you was ignorant to this thing, and that'll give you, that should make you even more merciful because you know God had mercy on you. But, you know, we become all judgment.
Amen.
The minute we find out something, man, we want to act like we know something. We in the know. You should listen at me, and I, you know, I should control everything about you and listen at me. I'm the end-all, be-all to everything that you should think. Really? So you're making yourself God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, a lot of people, man, I be looking at, listening at people, man, cats be having people throwing away stuff, you know, like they music and throwing away music and videos and stuff like that, you know, sculptures, you know. I ain't talking about the ones that Diana, you know, with the bottle and stuff. I ain't talking about those. But I'm talking about, like, lions and swans and stuff like that. They want to say that those things are satanic and idolatry. And people, man, they be gassing me out with that, you know. So what they actually saying that they're your God. Obey me. You don't have your idols before me. That's what they literally saying. I'm your God. Those things are idols to me. So this is how you worship me. Without us listening or thinking. But then if you don't know how to think, you don't know how to think for yourself, then you'll let me be your idol. That's that thing. And that's horrifying. That's horrifying. Change.
Verse 6, it says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
That ain't his name. That ain't his name. People call
it holy.
But people be like, he'd be like, man, oh, you just took the name of the Lord in vain because you said, God damn it. No, it's not. What you just did was curse. That's not his name. His name is Jesus. So you don't take his name in vain. You don't swear by his name and you know you lied through your teeth. He said, I'm not going to hold you guilty. That's on your book. That's on your book. You are not, that's not coming off. I swear. You lifting your hands up to the Lord in the name of Jesus, swam by the heavens in his name. He said, I'm not going to hold you. You're going to pay for that. You don't get away from that. You don't get to walk away from that. You may get to walk away from stealing, being an extortioner. You may get to walk away from being an adulterer, an adulteress, or even a murderer. You may even get a chance to walk away from polluting the Sabbath day.
So brother, if they doing Christmas right now, are they polluting the Sabbath day?
On so many levels, but I was trying not to even bring up this dog day. You know, I'm just trying to say about it is. Unfortunately, you're dealing with this is not only a double portion for the righteous, but it's a double portion for the wicked. This is really a frightening day for me. I didn't want to have to say that, but this is a double portion of idolatry on so many levels. So those of us, man, if you're not working, if you don't have to work, just chill. You don't want to be outside today. If you don't have to do, if you absolutely positively don't have to do nothing today, please don't. And that's a good catch, brother. Yes, the people that are participating in today is super troubled. They super are in trouble. Yes. Continue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. verse 9 reads, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
Wait a minute.
For in 6 days.
Wait a minute. Read that again, bro.
Okay.
Read that verse again.
Verse 9 reads, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of thy God, the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter,
thy manservant,
nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
Where's your wife at?
I don't know.
Where the wife at?
I don't know.
Bruh, where the wife at in this law?
I don't see her.
She's not in there, is she?
Nope.
You know why? Because he knew that it was some days, man, you might have been gone. You know, some of us work, and our work is journeys, right? And so we get back on the sixth day, and we come home on the Sabbath day, and there your wife is. What if you had sex with her? You haven't seen her in a week. You're going to do it. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. So she's not in here. You see that? She's not in here. That's mercy. But here, you know, some of us will sit up there, see, man, you know, if you pop that seed, man, you're going to be unclean. So you mean to tell me sex is sin? I'm still waiting on that one. Tell me sex is sin on the Sabbath. Because I don't see it here. I don't see the wife is here. So if she's not here, there's no law against her in you. Because she's not in here. So how you going to put it there? How is it that the marriage bed is undefiled in all things? How can it be undefiled in all things? Undefiled. But he said he's going to judge the fornicators and the adulterers. He didn't say a man and his wife. He said fornicators and adulterers. That's what he said he's going to do. It got to be careful. Don't be, you know, the book said where there's no law, there's no transgression. I can read that. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. I don't see no law here. I don't see her here. So there is no law. I'm still waiting on it. Right?
Amen. Amen.
And they sit up and say, well, if you let the seed of copulation go out, then you unclean until the evening, man. But, yeah, you may be unclean, but is it sin? That's the question. It's a difference when you're not clean. All you got to do is get washed up, but it's not sin. It's a difference. Pay attention. But if that's your deed, you know, what pleasure on the Sabbath day is knocking off my wife, well, all right. That's work. That's work. Man,
yes,
if I got to
yes,
knock off
yes.
my wife, man, that's work. Really? That's the best kind of work. Man, I would say, man, you know, I would say, hey, look, what type of man would love to have a job? All he got to do is have sex.
That's work.
You say what you want to say. You see? That's not work, man. I want to read that scripture if I can.
I think that's in Hebrews. It's either Hebrews or Corinthians. I'm going to see if I can find it quickly. Yeah, Hebrews 13 and 4. Hebrews 13 and 4. Would you read that?
Yes, sir. Give me one quick second, please.
Okay.
Hebrews 13 and 4 reads, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
He didn't say nothing about a married person or a man and his wife. He said, it's honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. So, you know, people adding to them things, bro. They adding it to their own conversations, right? Let's look at another scenario right quick. Let's go right into 1 Corinthians, because we got to get rid of some of this madness out here about the Sabbath day. You know, what they call pleasure and work. One dude call it pleasure and another dude call it work. And I'm like, I don't know about either one of y'all. Y'all tripping on, y'all just tripping. You know, y'all adding way too much to the scripts, because I ain't read none of those things you're talking about. Ain't no way in the world the Lord called having sex with your wife is work. Nowhere from Genesis to Revelation. Nowhere. So you adding that there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 1.
1 Corinthians 7 and 1 reads, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband.
So we back the husband. We're back to talking about marriage, right? And he's talking about sex. He said, look, it's good that you don't touch a woman, because, you know, some of these women is hot. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want to be touching on a man, because you might be catching feelings. You know, hey, man, I'd like to get at that. You know what I'm saying? Those things that hit your head quick. Or a woman. You know, y'all, you know, she may be attracted to that dude. She may get at it. Whatever. Right?
Right.
Continue.
Verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife.
But see, we're definitely talking about sex, ain't we?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, read on, bro.
All right. Verse 5 reads, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency.
Wait a minute. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself. Now he give you the time window to fasting and prayer and the Sabbath day. Is that what that said? Exactly. I didn't see nothing in there about the Sabbath day. Defraud ye not one another. Look, babe, you know, I'm catching those feelings. We need to get at this. You need, you know, or she come at you, hey, I'm catching these feelings, you know, what you up to, you know. Except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again. So he said that you may give yourself to fasting. That put in the atonement there. That go to the atonement. So no punani on the atonement. Because you fast. Right?
Right.
But I'm still waiting on the Sabbath day to pop out. Where is it? It's not there. But if you want it to be there, then that's between you and God. If I can find that scripture, I think it's in Romans, right? He said, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Oh, excuse me. Let me see if I can find it. Romans chapter 4 and 15.
I'm sorry. So what? Romans what?
Romans 4 and 15.
Romans 4. Romans 4 and 15 reads, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression.
I just see the wife in Exodus chapter 28 and 14. I just see the wife there, so where there is no law, there is no transgression. So if she's not there, how is it seen? So people is making themselves God before people. They're turning themselves into gods before men. Look, I'm a God. I'm your God. Do what I say because this pleased me. That ain't what the law said. The law said, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Right? Here's the other things on the Sabbath day. Let's go to Numbers chapter 15. So we're gonna move. So I hope we got that clear. The marriage bed is undefiled and all. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. You know, no punani if you're fasting and praying. And only atonement. And your wife is definitely not in Exodus 20. There's no word in there. Go look from Genesis. I triple dare you to go and search it out. The only thing you're going to come up with is to see the copulation make you unclean. But then again, does it make you, are you in sin? No. You mean to tell me because the seed of copulation left for me, God just judged me as a sinner. But he gave me the sin, he gave me the seed of copulation. He gave that to me. He knows it's going to come out of my body. And then he's going to turn me into a sinner for it. Are you listening to ourselves? No, you just unclean. And when it's all said and done with, man, you know, go take a shower. And then the evening comes, you good, you know. Numbers 15
and 32. Numbers 15 and 32 reads, And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day.
Wait a minute.
And they had found him.
No, he said not to work on the Sabbath day, didn't he?
Yes.
But people read this and say he's going to get ready to start a fire. I don't see nothing in there about no fire. He's just picking up sticks. He might was finna get ready to build a barn. He might have been out there getting ready to work, because remember, it was a mixed multitude, so he might was finna get ready to work for somebody. Remember, not everybody was keeping the Sabbath day. Remember, now he said some of the people still came out to gather bread on the Sabbath day. Well, who's to say people were still working on the Sabbath day? So here this guy. He gathered six. Why is he gathering six? Let's read.
Verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in word, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp.
The Lord said, because he kindled fire on a Sabbath day.
No. It basically said that he was working, picking up sticks on the Sabbath day.
Case in point. You can't add none to that. Why was he getting a stick other than trying to start a fire? That ain't true. He might have was going to build him a buggy or something. You know what I'm saying? He might have been going to build a house. He was going to build a shed for his chickens. You don't know. But it showed up there and said he was going to kick off a fire.
Whatever he was doing got him killed.
What got him killed was that he was picking up sticks. He was working. Who knows what he was going to do with them sticks, but it sure was, it don't say. What got him killed is that he was working, kicking off a fire. Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, here's the other thing, right, on the Sabbath day. You know, but the book say you ain't supposed to be kindling a fire. Okay, well, go to Exodus 35 and 3. In fact, pick it up at the 1.
Exodus 35 and 1?
Yes.
Okay. Exodus 35 and 1 reads, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day.
Stop. See, you're not supposed to have no fires on the Sabbath day.
Right.
Hey, bruh, are we not in Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay. Let's look at, let me see. Wait a minute. No. Hold up. I gotta find this. This is in Isaiah. Hold up. Oh my God. It's really a simple thing. What is that? Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to do this. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to see if I can find it here. I think it's in, oh, wait a minute.
Yes. Yes. Isaiah 44.
Right, I was right there, by there.
Yeah. Isaiah 44. Now watch this.
Isaiah 44 and 1?
15.
Okay. Isaiah 44 and 15 reads, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worship it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth.
Stop. We need to know what he did. Stop. Read 14.
Okay. Verse 14 say, he heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth it for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it.
That's what that dude was doing. He was chopping down trees. Now, watch this. Now, this is what God was showing us here. Now, watch this. This man, he said, now, this guy's cutting down trees, right? 44
right.
And 15, because people would sit up here and read this and say, see, this is why you don't kindle fires on the seventh day. Okay, read on.
Verse 15 reads, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he
Wait
will take thereof.
The
and
law is that you can burn that, right?
But
you can burn a tree, so the law is okay, you can burn a tree, right?
Right.
So it's not sin to burn a tree. Why? Read 15.
Verse 15 reads, then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worship it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto.
What's the sin? What's the sin? Was it that he kindled a fire or did he make an image?
He made a graven image unto it. He worshipped it.
He worshipped it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, but he shall take for himself, therefore, and warm himself. What? But if the Sabbath day come around and we don't turn on the heat, which is fire, who is going to enjoy it? Because we be sitting there freezing, won't we? Then you'd be like, man, it's too cold to enjoy the Sabbath day, man. I ain't with that. You can hide that Sabbath stuff because, man, your crib is cold. I'm going over there with them sun worshipers. They got heat. You seriously, right? This is what we're talking about. This is what we're really talking about. Read on.
Verse 15. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth and baketh bread. Yea.
He baking
he
what?
Make-
That's why he gathered enough for 2 days. Read on.
Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worship it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire and the residue thereof. He maketh a god even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worship it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God.
See, it wasn't the killing of the fire, man. This dude went and made an idol out of it. He went and made an idol out of it. That's the sin. He's telling you, man, what if this the Sabbath day you haven't eaten, but you got food in your house, but you don't look at the food in your house until the sun goes down? I mean, I'm just chilling, B. I'm really trying to make sense out of this. You got to see, people be having you worshiping them versus worshiping God, or the true and living God. They'll have you worship, but what's really a gas is that people will sit up there, excuse me. People will have you to sit there and they will tell you, well, you need to get rid of your CDs, this, that, and the other. You don't know what these people doing in the dark behind closed doors. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what the hell they doing, because what you're doing is an idolatry to them. Sir, need you. You're dumber than a sack of rock. to even think about that, you got to be stupid as a bag of rocks. Yes, there ain't no sense in that. I ain't never told nobody to throw away anything. All that's the only thing I can do is show you what's in the law. I ain't finna tell you you can't get out with your wife. I'm not going to get off in your bedroom. I'm not going to get into your personal situation with your wife. That is not my business. If y'all about to get ready to go downtown and get divorced, and you say, "Oh, look, bro, man, we're finna get ready to do this, man. We really need you to talk to me. We wanna, have this conversation before we go get down like that." Well, that might be a consideration for your brother to have a conversation. And get what I said, might be a consideration for your brother in this conversation. Might be. That's how I feel about being in somebody else's marriage, man, because the book, he tells you, man, that's a double negative, man, because a man could kill you for that, and he won't go to the fight. Man,
you all right, right, right. I see that. You're right. You're right. I see that.
You all up in my way. Who told you could talk to you? Who told you could throw monkey wrenches in my work? This dude don't even believe in God. Here it is, you telling his wife, look, you can't have sex with your dude. You can't do this, you can't do that. And the law tells, the law is specific. Wives, reverence your husbands, not your preacher, not your pastor, not your teacher. So if that dude blow your brains out, you earned it. And guess what? The Lord will probably let him get into the kingdom, and you've been, and let both of y'all get in the kingdom, but he gets to live a whole life, and you die before your time, being stupid.
Ooh-wee.
All up in somebody else's video. No. See, this is those things, man. See, this is kindling fire, but it didn't say it was on a Sabbath day, one. It didn't say. And then when the dude was gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, he didn't say it was for the fire, two. And then the Lord said, it's okay to warm yourself with, three, or roast flesh on it. He said, it's okay. He said, he burneth the part thereof with the fire, and with the part thereof he eateth flesh. And he roasts a roast, and is satisfied. And he warmed himself and said, aha, I'm warm, I seen the fire. Nowhere on this is there anything about the Sabbath day, but they'll use this script to justify that madness. And I'm going to call it madness.
because that's exactly what it is. You add into the scriptures. The sin in this verse is verse 17. Read that.
Verse 17 reads, "And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it and worship it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God."
I'm just saying, bro.
How do they do that?
Bruh, look, people want to be worshipped. They want to be worshipped in reverence like their God. But then again, some people worship Satan, so they'll follow a man like that. Some people is actually worshiping Satan in the name of God. So they don't care. They just follow him, just go ahead on, because that's what they really want to do anyway. They don't really want to worship God, because if they really believe God, then they'll do the things that belong to him. They will fear him instead of some man or a witch or a whore or anybody out here in this world. You don't fear
some of us got so much fear
in their life. You know, somebody might be praying against us and somebody praying. Look, get your scary ass away from around me. The fearful and the unbelievers are going to end up in the lake of fire. You can go somewhere with that. You act like that ain't written. You not only are you fearful, but you're an unbeliever. You don't believe that God can deliver you from some knucklehead that's out here playing with rocks and pieces of hair, you know. That's just me. You see what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, bro.
You know, you got some of us, man, that's so fearful. And I'm like, so why are you so fearful? You're more fearful of that than the name of God. People will sit up and say, well, why would I call him Jesus? But then they'd be afraid of a witch. I'm saying. That's just me, man. Because I hate to be around scary people. Because that stuff will rub off on you.
Right.
You know, it'll rub off on you. You know, coming up in Chicago, man, you always running into different cliques. You're going to run into some Stones over here. You're going to run into some GDs over there. You're going to run into some Four Corner Huskers over there. You're going to run into some Rooks over here. But I want to go into that liquor store, and I want to give me a shot, right? I want to give me some drink. So I got to go through whatever clique that is to get that drink.
I ain't sitting up here, man.
So, but I'm around this dude. He got the smell of fear all over him. You know. Oh, man, that's the Blackstone, man. You know. Hey, man, that's some GDs, man. You going to go up in there, man? You know. Really? That's what you get out of that, bro? So I was never that person. And when somebody was around me like that, I excused myself or that person from me. Because I don't ride with fear. I can't ride with fear. Because that means I can't live.
Amen. Amen.
The only thing I'm fearing is my God for the stupid things that I do in this planet and that his judgment will come down on me. But ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to let some Dumas tell me, you know, your sculptures are idolaters. Wait a minute, man, that's a swine. God made swines, yeah, but you made an image out of it. Ain't nobody falling down to it. I just made a copy of it. I ain't down there saying, oh, gray swan, give me a golden egg. Get the man, you saying nothing like that. You know, people be tripping. They be going all out. And then, you know, like some of us, they tell us, you know, the videos and the music you're listening to, you need to throw them out. Man, when people start doing that, you're falling off into a cult leader. That mug want to be worshipped. Because those are gods to me. Well, if you're weak enough to believe that, then okay. The God of Israel is the only God to me. All these idols out here, everywhere you turn, is something that's something to do with idolatry. So what? He said an idol. Paul said an idol is nothing. Nothing.
Hey, bro, what you said?
Told you that an idol is nothing. He said, I'm going to execute judgment on the idols of Egypt. So what the hell am I concerned about something that you might think is idolatry? See, they got checkered floors. That means white and black. And then, you know, well, you know, if you go to Disney, then it's a witchcraft in Disney. If you walk over there because they're casting spells and da-da-da. Well, man, here's where I'm at.
Step on your crack.
I ain't that big on me. Huh?
No, step on your crack. Step on a crack, break your mother's back.
Yeah, or don't pick up a penny because that's bad luck. Or you break a mirror that 7 years. You know, something like that. You know, but get this, bro. Get this. So people sitting up there said, "Well, you know, Walt Disney is full of satanic worship, and that you know they got this ground on the ground, and if you walk across it." Then they saying you can't cast spells. Well, dude, you just bound yourself by their ignorance. You ain't even thinking about it. In fact, hey, bro, how do you spell do?
How you spell what?
How do you spell cat?
C-A-T.
Nope.
You said cat,
how
right?
C-A-T. No. Because, see, if I'm casting spells, then how am I casting spell on a cat? Did you just spell cat?
Yes, I did.
And if you spell dog, are you casting spells on dogs? Oh, man, guess what? Our teacher is having a spelling bee. Oh, we better not go to school that day because there's a spelling bee.
Oh!
You feel me?
Yeah, that's like when somebody adds on to something, like it says in the book. He says, do not add on to it, not one jot or one tittle.
He said,
don't add on nothing.
You the biggest coward on the planet if you worried about what a spell can do, because that's all people do all day long whenever they write a letter down on a piece of paper. You spelling something. You spelling a word. So you casting spells on a notebook paper?
No,
I'm not. I'm not casting spells on a notebook paper, but they can cast spells on you. Duh! Go somewhere with that scary rabbit stuff, man. If you believe that, then that's your God. If you believe the God of Israel, he tell you, you better fear me.
Right.
If you foolish enough to fear a man or a witch or somebody praying against your works, you're weak. You're worse than weak. You're an unbeliever.
Man.
You know, I need to be stronger. No, you weak. That's it. None of that. Idols is nothing. Unless you believe it, like you do. It wasn't nothing about killing in the fire because you say you can warm yourself. We're in Minnesota, man. Is it not the Sabbath day?
Yes.
But it's 30 degrees outside. You know people got their heat on. You can miss me with that. So it's more to this. So what's really going on here? What's really going on with kindling fires on the Sabbath? Right? Let's go to James.
Right.
Let's go to James.
Wait. Before you go to James, my brother, go to Malachi chapter 1 and 10.
Hold on one second. excuse me, please.
Malachi 1 and verse 10.
Okay. All right. Almost there. Malachi 1 and 10 reads, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand."
Stop. Did the priest kindle fires on the altar 7 days a week?
Doesn't say that here.
The Lord has sacrifices every day of the week. Every day of the week, bro. They kindle fires every day of the week, including the Sabbath day. But now you finna tell me that the Levites, the God of Israel, told the Levites, go and sin against me and kindle fires on my altar on the Sabbath day. And light them candles too on the Sabbath day because you're kindling fires. No, now, you can't let those candles go out ever. You can never let the candles go out in the altar, in the temple of God. That candle got to burn every day of the week, all day long, 24/7. And you mean to tell me that he taught the priest how to get thrown in a lake of fire? All right?
Yeah.
See, like I said, it's a little more to that. It's way more to that. Here's a one for you. Here's a one that this should jump off the page at you, right? Go to Psalms 104, right? Go to Psalms 104. Psalms 104 and verse 4. You receive it, read.
Psalms 104 and 4 reads, "Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flaming fire."
Except for the day. So God created his angels if kindling fires on the Sabbath is sin, then his angels already are doomed. Because they made ministers a flame of fire, right?
Case in point.
Let me read that. Read that again.
"Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire."
Except for today. Is that what that said? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter. This is what happened when we start worshiping men. Ezekiel chapter 27. Is that 26? No, this is 28. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11.
Ezekiel 28 and verse 11?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Ezekiel 28 and 11 reads, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou fillest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain."
No. He said his angels are ministering spirits in flame of fire, right?
Right.
He created them from fire, right?
Right.
They're not created from the earth. We're created from the earth. The angels are created from fire, right?
Right.
So where is this fire that he created them from? Now read that verse. He said, read that again. Go ahead. Read that again.
Verse 13 reads, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked down."
So the mountain of God is what? Read on.
"Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day.
No, you're not going to just read that. Heaven is on fire.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
This is why we can't go to heaven, because heaven is on fire. He said that ministering spirits are flame of fire because they're created from this. They're created from heaven. Right?
Right. And they walking up and down in it.
Okay. Except for today. Heaven ain't on fire. Is that what that means? I'll wait. This is what the book says. Let us reason together. Heaven is just on fire right now, but he gonna tell us, you better not kindle no fire on a Sabbath day, but I can. In fact, the whole heaven is on fire every day of the week. But you better not kindle no fire on a Sabbath day. This is God. Seriously. Like I said, I'll wait. Bruh, we so pushing up on the clock, you know, and I hate that I have to, you know, I'm going to have to wrap this up, because we pushing up on the clock. We only got like five, you know, we just getting into it, but we only got 5 more minutes left, man, and this couple of hours went fast, Jack.
Yes,
let's
sir.
Let's read James chapter 3. We're going to get back. Let's do a Sabbath day part 2. How about that? Next Sabbath. Go to James chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's see what fire is he really talking about here that we're not supposed to be kindling on the Sabbath day. When you receive the read.
Okay. Okay. James 3 and it's James 3 and 1?
Yeah.
All right. Yes, sir. James 3 and 1 reads, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are so driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth."
What? Oh, that's the kindling he's talking about. Your mouth. Putting your mouth on people. Bad mouth on people. Sowing discord among the brethren. On the Sabbath day. Oh, we're gonna definitely do a part two to this. All right.
Yes, sir.
Read on.
"And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell."
See that? That's what he's talking about, kindling the fires on the Sabbath day, your mouth. I tell people, man, if you go to class, get that word, but you better get on out of that, because here comes sin. The enemy is looking for the weak. And he's using the weak. He's using the weak. Read on.
Verse 7. "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison."
Stop.
What? What?
This is what happens when you talk too much. You never shut up. You talk too much, and you never shut up. I said, you talk too much.
I do that a lot. I'm sorry about that.
It says, you know why? You know what? Because you can't even tame your own tongue. That's why if you can't tame your mouth, then it's being ran by an unruly evil.
Be still.
Whether you want to believe that or not, the book just said it. If you can't control your mouth, it's definitely ruled by an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Woo-wee. Oh, my God.
Full of deadly poison. Here it is. We think, man, because we use a profanity, man, you know, like I say shit and stuff like that. To me, that's not profanity. I think it's just, it's Phoenician alphabets. You know, but if I want to curse you, then I say, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, kill that person." That's cursing someone. But if I tell you you're full of shit, I'm just telling you, you're full of shit. But, you know,
we just
got reminded we only got 90 seconds left, bro. We got to get up, man. But, hey, look, time appointed, man, great job reading. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, this pre-sale went really, really fast because, well, hey, man, ain't nothing better than talking about the Sabbath day than the Sabbath, right?
Right. All praise to the Most High God.
Enjoy your double portions. Enjoy the double portions of God. Be peaceful. Enjoy the blessings of God. And as we say here, at the sound of living waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles.
Great job, brother. Great job on the lesson. Much love to the family. Grace and peace, everybody.
Hey,
God have a blessed day.
Thank you. Always. Appreciate you.
Always, brother.
From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.